Welcome to Servcast. Thank you for joining me. My guest today is Rebecca Lyons. Rebecca is a national speaker and best-selling author. Her most recent book, Rhythms of Renewal. Pick it up. Check it out. It's a fantastic book. This conversation is going to be giving you some enlightenment on what that book is about and this whole idea that we can find rhythms of life together. Rebecca was a previous guest on Servcast and a speaker in the Lee University Chapel a couple of years ago, and we're delighted to have this conversation. I need to tell you that there'll be a couple of moments in here. It might get a little spotty, meaning that the connection was going in and out because we had to do this over an audio feed, but stick around to the end of this episode. I promise you, you're going to enjoy this conversation with our friend, Rebecca Lyons. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Servcast. Rebecca is now on the phone with us. Rebecca, welcome again to Servcast. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful. I'm excited to be with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Life is well. We're, you know, finished up here at Lee University. Everybody's on Christmas break, so it's an exciting time. But hey, I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys since the Gotcha Day and Joy joined the family. What is that like?
It's changed our life, as you can imagine, in 1 year. A lot happens in 1 year. We just celebrated the anniversary this month, and this time we get a full Christmas season with her. She met Santa and wasn't sure about it, but and it's just been so fun to just relive it again through the life of a kindergartner, and we're laughing a lot. Let's just put it that way.
Well, so for those of us that are watching your life and Gabe's life through the Instagram post and all of that, it's been real fun to see. So, but we want to dig into this book today that you recently released, and you know, this idea of this whole thing of rhythms and what does that mean. So, hey, can you tell us what the real passion and what guided you to writing this book, you know, Rhythms of Renewal, and why did you do it?
Sure. Well, it kind of birthed from my story, which you're familiar with, of moving to New York in 2010. And we had three kids at the time that were 4, 7, and 9. And my youngest, Kennedy, was starting kindergarten. And I had some bandwidth during the day to kind of reawaken some of my passions that were there dormant before kids came. And instead of, you know, going full throttle and kind of purpose and mission, I had my first panic attack 4 months into my time there. And that continued for over a year. And it was rooted in claustrophobia and often made its way through planes, trains, elevators, subways, and crowds. And honestly, I got to the end of myself with a city of 8 million people and 11 miles and just felt like New York was the pressure cooker that pushed some things to the surface. And so I just live a life of crippling in that year. And then I remember crying out to God in the middle of the night in 2011 and just asking for rescue. And I was flooded with peace. And what began that night was just more of a healing journey that was uncharted, you know, one day at a time, and became a catalyst for me to start to implement rhythms. At the time, I wrote in my journal in that year, I needed these rhythms of renewal to help me have sustained health. And I didn't have any idea what that looked like. But I just knew that I was still going to be pushed into the environments that would give that anxiety the muscle memory to return over and over again. And so I just needed to get a more robust plan for emotional health. And so it slowly became something I lived out over the years. And I would have, of course, moments of relapse when I wasn't taking care of myself very well or overworking or underconnected with people or whatever. But in general, it slowly became this book that just released called Rhythms of Renewal, Trading Stress and Anxiety for Peace and Purpose.
Yeah, and I think it's a fantastic book. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm well on my way in it, and particularly like the chapter 22 on Dream Again. So for any of our listeners, be sure to read at least all the way to chapter 22 and then keep going. But in this book, Rebecca, you talk about four rhythms. What are those rhythms? And I guess, can you tell us why you chose to identify those rhythms, the four rhythms, and name them what you did?
Well, I really came around this concept of input rhythms versus output. I think often the reason why 77% of our society are facing physical symptoms of stress, so that's almost 4 out of 5 of us, is because we're doing so much output, but we're not actually getting any input. So we're burned out, we're tired, we're worn out. Physical fatigue is setting in. We have a mind that won't quit, shallow breathing, anxious thoughts. And so our bodies are just tired. And so I started the book with a rhythm of rest. So rest and restore our input rhythms and connect and create our output rhythms, because you cannot give what you haven't received. And rest to me feels just like permission for a corporate exhale. You know, all of a sudden everyone's like, I want to rest so bad. I just don't feel like I can, or I can't afford to. You know, my work or my livelihood depends on it, or I just have too many stressors or demands. And so the first chapter in the rest rhythm is a question about the inner life. You know, take inventory of your life. What's right, what's wrong, what's confused, and what's missing. And once you are able to name some things, like get quiet long enough to actually consider what you might be feeling internally, but haven't slowed down enough to pay attention to, so that you can actually create a plan or have at least a means to which you start to work from. When you do that, then you start to consider what are the things that need to go, you know? What are the things that are extra that maybe I've said yes to and I need to just quit something? So rest is this invitation to a quieter, slower pace. Part of our stress is just from being overscheduled, and I, for one, am very guilty of this. I, in my mind, want to do all the things. It all sounds wonderful. And then once that commitment's made, I'm like, why did I do that? Because I actually am skimming the surface. I'm actually not allowed to fully participate in certain things that are very valuable to me, because I have bottlenecked that with a bunch of other things that sounded fun, but in theory weren't that necessary. So all that to say, rest is, there's chapters like routines for deep sleep and developing a morning routine and, you know, taking a Sabbath. Just really practical steps to invite people to slow down, because you cannot run if you cannot rest.
Right. I want to dig into rest in just a minute, but first I want to go back to something you just said. You talked about, you begin to identify what is right, wrong, what you need to confess. Did you say that? And what is missing? Are those the four values you just mentioned?
Yes.
So unpack that for us just for a little bit, because, you know, a lot of times I think that, I mean, what I'm hearing you say and what the book, I think, is revealing to me so far is the reality that it kind of just digs into your soul. It kind of digs into who you are and reveals to you who you might not know that you really are.
Right, exactly. I think we start knowing who we are, because that's usually what births passion or vision or mission. But it gets cloudy. It gets clouded, and the original purpose starts to get skewed based on expectations or duty, obligation, or pressure. Partnerships, you name it. And we have to come back to center and go, what do I want? And what's driving? Because a really good indicator, I think, is in our work life. If we're going, I'm just doing it out of habit, I'm doing it because of what I've always done, there's not really energy around it or life-giving forces around it. I haven't had original thought in like 3 years because I'm just maintaining. And that's when we got to pause and go, hey, if there's not joy in this, if there's not new life and new creation, new things coming out of this, then you gotta give it a serious look. It's just like a SWOT analysis you would do in a company.
Sure.
You got to do that in your personal life, because your work is a reflection of how you are doing personally.
Right.
And so if we're avoiding that or ignoring it, then it's going to start to show out everywhere else.
So let's talk about rest, Rebecca, because a lot of times I think that for me personally, sometimes when I actually need to rest, now that doesn't always mean that I'm sleeping. It just means that I'm intentionally pausing, relaxing, reflecting. But how do we get past the guilt factor? I don't know if this makes sense to you or not, but sometimes I think that in life we're so busy that when we intentionally take a pause to refuel or whatever, we almost feel guilty. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, but I'm not sure where it came from, because Jesus is so clear about come into my rest.
Yeah.
It does require pursuit. Like, get away. Are you tired, burned out? Get away and you'll recover your life and you'll find rest for your soul. The invitation, Jesus modeled this so beautifully. He would always retreat to the mountain and pray. No matter how much demands were on him in his ministry, he modeled an intimacy, because partly we think of rest. I think the guilt that comes with rest is that we see rest as numbing out or escape, but that's actually not what rest is. It's not Netflix binging for a whole weekend or just going dark. It's actually solitude. It's relational with God. It has to be restorative or it's not rest.
Right.
So I think we've got to change how we see or define rest. If you look at it in a way of going, hey, we rest less because we rest less. Like, we're restless because there's something angsty about us that's anxious. But if we actually saw rest as a posture to fuel us, we don't run to earn it. Because if you're already always going to earn rest, you'll never feel like you worked hard enough to earn it. But we don't run to earn rest. We run fueled from a posture of rest. So it's always the chicken or the egg. I begin my week with Sunday being rest. It's definitely still reflective. Monday comes from rest. Mm-hmm. Did I actually stay offline all day Sunday? Did I just invest in family? Did I take a walk in nature? Did I eat well? Did I do things that were restorative? Also going to church, whatever that means. But did I fill my soul with some life-giving relationships, time with God, time offline, so that Monday I'm bringing that abundance or that overflow into my work? When we start seeing rest as the fuel for the most efficient, effective, creative work, will no longer feel guilty. It's just strategic.
Yeah. And I really like the way you say that, you know, because we're you know, creating a posture, you know, for us. As much as we create a posture for worship, we also create a posture for rest to go hand in that. In your podcast that you and Gabe host, I think it's called Rhythms for Life, right? And you mentioned in a episode on Made for Meaning, right before you were releasing the book, you talked about this whole idea of rhythms as a lifestyle, you know, not an episodic event, not something that we just, you know, get to and then we're done with it, but it's more of a lifestyle. So you have to go back and keep kind of retooling it. What have you found out in your own life, and how can you encourage those of us who are starting this process to recognize that this lifestyle pursuit, you know, sometimes you're not going to get where you want to get. How do you keep going in the process, and how do you keep, you know, repeating to say, I've got to dig in and keep going a little bit deeper in this journey?
I think that the measure of my success going forward is completely contingent on my ability or willingness to rest, actually. It's not even an optional discussion. It's not possible. I cannot possibly have the fortitude, the tenacity, the endurance that will be required, I think, for a long haul. And I think that's what we all want. We want whatever days we are given by God. Every morning we wake up with breath in our lungs. We want that day to count. And trust me, resting that day counts probably exponentially towards the work that is public. And we've just got to see it as a rhythm. It's a rhythm. It's a cadence. Like, we are invited to sleep every 24 hours. We can either actually need that. And that's the thing I think people are mishearing. They think is burning out because our bodies were never made to avoid a restful night's sleep. And so we've got to get intentional about removing the things that keep us. I'm speaking to myself here. Our mind actually won't even get recharged unless we're eliminating the things from our lives that constantly distract, that constantly tend to consume, and just make room in our hearts for the things contingent on the success of my writing or my work or.
So I really appreciate what you're saying there, because I think that does, it's almost like a self-awareness, you know, we have to realize where we are. So, which part of this was most difficult for you, and how did you overcome that difficulty, and which seemed to be the most simple for you, and how can we champion that so that it can continue to flow? Does that make sense?
So for resting, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Out of the whole rhythms, the four rhythms, right? The four rhythms that you talk about.
Oh.
Yeah, so you know, which of those may have been the most challenge? And then I guess it's more about how did you begin to overcome that to the point that you stayed in the game?
Sure. I would say I tend to live in the extremes. So honestly, all four of them at the same time are the most difficult for me. I tend to go like, okay, I got off social media. I read a chapter in the rest rhythm called Tech Detox. I got off for 3 months and I was like, this is great. Why would I ever re-enter? You know, I tend to go like all or nothing. So when I was resting, I was loving it. And when I was creating, I'm loving it. But the problem is that's exactly the issue, is that we're killing it in one of the rhythms. And while we do that, all the other three are being depleted, because the cadence of the rhythms is that every single day you have to work in a restful rhythm, just like you work in create. If you go through a year of rest and you create nothing, at some point you're going to get antsy. You're just going to feel like, I've been so filled up. I've got something to contribute and it's got to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you're creating nonstop and you don't sleep well and your relationships are suffering, you're going to go, I have got to stop right now, because I don't feel known in my city or my family, or I'm just tired.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is the rhythms as a whole picture, all four of them, require us to submit to the cadence of making room for all of them. And yes, there will be certain seasons where we press the gas on create. Like if I launch a book, that's going to be more time spent in that season to create than in the summer when largely offline and not working as much.
Mm-hmm.
So there's almost like a daily rhythm of the four. Then there's a quarterly, weekly or quarterly. Then there's an annual rhythm as well, a cadence of how we live those rhythms. Just like in seasons, you've got spring, summer, fall, and winter all in a 12-month span.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that God actually established creation in rhythm, days and nights, evening and morning, satellites, waves on a beach, tide. Everything that God created operates in rhythm, and our bodies are functioning in rhythm with heartbeat, pulse, cadence, labor pains, you name it. So it would make sense to us that because God established his created order in rhythm, that we have to be a people of rhythm. And so this book is a kind of a field guide on how to navigate that in a way that's not adding to your plate, but simplifying your life, taking the things off that cause you to go out of balance in your rhythm, and inviting you back to these small, steady steps or expressions as you walk this out.
So while the self-reflection obviously would be individual, you know, for you personally, you obviously don't live these rhythms out alone. You and Gabe have, you know, kind of made a lifestyle of this and have, you know, shared that with the rest of the world so that we can learn to do the same. What has been some of the, or not necessarily for you guys, but what do some of our listeners need to know about this challenge of trying to do a rhythm with someone else when maybe one person's pace might be different than the other, but you also need to develop a like a cadence?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to have a natural bent. I have a quiz on my website. It's just RebeccaLyons.com/quiz. And currently it's, what's your healthiest rhythm? And it's 40 questions, multiple choice, 5 minutes. And then you get the results immediately of like, everyone has one rhythm that's most natural for them, that's more effortless, which means you got to work harder at the other three. And most likely in your marriage or in your home, everyone in that family is going to have a different dominant rhythm.
Right.
So that's great, because some are more chill, some are more type A, some are more relaxed, some are more on the go. Part of that's just personality driven, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just knowing that even if you're wired to be an extrovert, you actually can't reflect, you can't learn if you don't slow down. And if you're an introvert, you actually can't engage the world if you don't go outside and be social. So part of it is just knowing our bent was God-given, but also going, hey, within this relationship, I'm going to honor the needs you have in your rhythms. And I'm also going to challenge you or encourage you to go, here's some ways to strengthen those other three. Especially in the restore rhythm, we haven't talked about yet, but that's so much about our physical health and energy level. And so it's about food for fuel. It's about raising our heart rate through a brisk walk or working out so that it releases serotonin in our body, which is the happy hormone. If we are inactive people, I don't care how good it feels to lay on your couch. That's the worst thing for your body. And mm-hmm. so at some point, someone is going to say, hey, nobody's going to want to do this, but we have to do this. It's actually for our health. It's for our vitality. So part of it is like we're going to sharpen each other as we live these rhythms out, because some rhythms are going to challenge us more than others.
So what are some starting places? You know, we're nearing the end of this episode, but before we go, what are some starting places for people that you know, say, okay, I believe in this possibility and I want to jump in? How do they do this? Where do they start?
Sure. If you are in the output lane, like those two output rhythms are connect and create. So connect is relational health and create is vocational health. A lot of people live in those rhythms. And part of the emotional health one is, you know, chapters on friendship or vulnerability or hospitality, conflict resolution. Some practical steps are, you know, embracing and hugs. You know, that raises oxytocin in your body, which is the hormone that establishes feelings of connection or belonging, that fights against a loneliness epidemic. So for some people who might just say, I'm struggling in friendships, like the connect rhythm is where you want to plug in. If some people are questioning, like, what's my purpose or calling, it's a little cloudy for me, the create rhythm is where you're going to plug in. It's all about dream again, like you just quoted, and going back to who we were as 8 or 9 or 10 year olds and what made us come alive. And what usually those things, those birthright gifts from the womb, actually give way to informing the life that we live as adults. So it's exploring those things, going back to learning something new, taking a class, saying yes to commitment, taking a risk. All those things are, and then again, if you are, if you just need work on the, and knowing how to rest and restore, the invitations for those to get outside, take a walk, enjoy creation, get in His word with a morning routine, make sure you prepare yourself for bedtime. You know, there's a lot of practical tips I give in the routines for deep sleep chapter. Mm-hmm. And just know that this doesn't all have to happen at once. It's like truly so many suggestions, and only you as the reader know, like, here's the area that I actually want to work. And you'll be able to determine where you focus initially. But I would say the biggest thing to begin with is just asking what's right or wrong or confused or missing in your life currently. And that helps you develop a plan, a way to take some steps forward.
Right. So as we get ready to close, tell me, for the people who, actually, I recommended this book on our 2-Minute Tuesday episode recently, but so I'm hoping that somebody's picking it up and reading it over the holidays. But what do you want people to take away from this book?
I would just tell people that it's never too late to reestablish what you want your life to be about.
Good.
I know a lot of students at Lee are young, and you have your whole life ahead of you, and it doesn't matter what you were handed, you know, positive or it's still going to be up to you to determine what do you want your life to look like, because you now are at that age, independence and age. So I would just say, take charge of your emotional health that way. So many people in college and coming out of anxiety and depression. And part of these rhythms are a way to keep that angst at bay by just living established from the beginning, by inviting us into these rhythms of rest, restore, connect, create, because those actually help anxiety. They help combat the things that come against us. And it's just one small step a day. It's not, it doesn't have to be expensive. It's just intentional. Mm-hmm. And I think anyone can join in, no matter where they are in any season of life.
Good stuff. Well, I'm excited to have this conversation with you again. And you might remember back on 11/10/2017 when we talked about this idea of freeing sons and daughters, and just a fantastic way to encourage other people. I asked you to pray, and I'm going to do the same thing today, Rebecca, because I think this would be incredibly helpful for our listeners. We know that when we hear a good, encouraging moment like this, sometimes it's helpful just to pause and to let the real work that the Creator does settle in on us. And I don't know of a better way to do that than through prayer, and in particular, through the prayer of a loving mother and a friend to all of us. And so Rebecca, so glad to have you on the podcast today, and I'm delighted that you joined us. And at the end of this prayer, folks, just remember, you're made for more. And we'll end with Rebecca's prayer. But Rebecca, will you do that with us today? Will you just pray a prayer that would reach to the hearts of our listeners, that would encourage them to find the rhythms that the Creator has designed for them as well?
Be honored. God, we love you and we praise you that you are King, you are a Creator of heaven and earth, that you established rhythms from the beginning, and that you dwell in rest and restoration and connection and creation. And so I ask for any listener today, Lord, that just might be struggling, that's just feeling a tension deep in their chest, whether it's anxiety, whether there's sadness, depression, loneliness, isolation. I pray right now, God, that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, that they would feel your presence and your nearness even today, Lord, that they would just hear the truth is that they are not alone, and this is not the end of their story. Every day we wake with a set of choices in front of us, and I pray that the ones who grab the book or listen to this discussion, God, would feel equipped. They would feel strengthened on some level to take these small, actionable steps into the new decade, God. They would see a future that looks different than maybe what they have looked at in the past, that they would feel a renewed confidence from you. I know renewal means to make new, and rhythm means to do that again and again. So I pray for the listeners that they would feel a revival of heart, they would feel refreshed, they'd feel a desire, and that in these words, or in your word, God, that they would draw strength from that, that they would see that there is a future that's far beyond what they could possibly imagine, God, and that healing is just, this is all part of their story. And so I praise you and thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, Jesus, that you are our peace. We can submit to that. We can come under your covering of peace. And that as we surrender our lives to you, we can let go and release the things that so easily entangle us, that hold us back, that create bondage for us, Lord. And I pray for just a revived strength for everyone here today. We ask all these things in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.